October 20th, 2021, Town Board Budget Workshop at 7 o'clock p.m.
All right, we're good to go. Are you all set?
Yep.
Okay. All righty, this is a budget workshop. Hopefully it shall be our last one so we can wrap up this year's budget process. We do have a couple of changes that I'll run through real quickly that we made after our last conversation that are in the tentative, is it preliminary, is that what we call it now?
Yes.
Preliminary budget. And so what we did is we've got the 3% increase, if you recall, when we released the budget, I think it was at 2%. And any employees that were hired in the third or fourth quarter, I think it's only 2%. Were not included in the salary wage increase, and individuals that were accurate on that.
I think so.
I'm going off your notes.
Well, that the notes are correct.
Okay. And it does not include our employees that are earning a minimum wage because they will exceed the 3% with the state mandate to increase. The new clerk for the building department, that salary is put in there at $38,500, because we were sensitive to a recent increase in the court, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't throw anybody out of alignment with somebody who's been here before. And on the highway budget, we increase appropriations to include the tire replacements that we had left out that Paul had requested for the trucks. So that's in there. We talked about the grade all bucket and replacing it. And the agreement was we would fund it, but wasn't that we were necessarily going to replace it. But if we wanted to go that route, we had that option moving forward in 2022. What we took out was the tablet that is was for the assessor billing department because that was purchased out of the 2021 budget. And the final add was for a spring brush pickup to the town outside budget. So those were the changes that we made to date based on the budget workshops that we held once I released the budget. So that leaves us with a couple of open items. First one is the potential new hires for highway department. I'll run down them real quickly, and if somebody wants to add to the list, we can do that. Second one is full-time, part-time status for code enforcement officer. Third is water tower painting. Actually, we don't really need to discuss that. It was in the budget this year. Never got done. And so we have it in the budget for 2022 because it needs to be done. If we don't keep up on this, on these maintenance projects, it becomes a problem and more expensive. So we don't really need to discuss that unless somebody wants to take it out, but I don't think anybody does. The next issue is transfer station manager for 2022. The other issue is transfer station loader. Then credit card usage at the transfer station. ARPA funding in water for the extension at the Van Buren Street location. That's water district one, right? So I don't know if that really needs to be discussed. I want to let you know that I did add 200,000 or 180.
We will be adding 180.
180. Yes. So what has happened there is has come to our attention that when the infrastructure was put in and Water District 1, although there are street real property addresses that are included legally in the map plan and report, the infrastructure was never extended to them. Why? I don't know, but that happened before my time here at the board. So we have to do that. So my recommendation is to pull that money out of the fund balance for Water District 1 because they have the money there. It's their district. And the numbers that I've heard from Don, he's suggesting it would be tight at 180. With increased costs for next year, you should be more than adequate with 200. So my recommendation would be to pull the 200 out of fund balance to that if everybody's okay with it.
they have it and pull it out of that specific district.
But yes, yeah, because that's their district.
Makes sense.
All right, so we can take that off. All right, so we'll go back to the top for items of discussion. The first one is potential new hires for the highway department. Paul requested three new hires, one of them being a backfill. I don't know what everybody's thoughts are on that. I just want to point out before we get into the discussion, because it's important for you to know, this would be funded by the DB account, which is the highway. And last year, we utilized $71,251 of fund balance to meet our needs for highway. And we, when we added the grade all bucket and the, is that the hiring or the brush? The brush, right?
Tires.
If you add we had to add additional funding for the grade all bucket and tires, that means we went from 71,000 of last year in fund balance, we're up to almost 91,000. So any new employee that you add has to come, has to be paid out of that account. And I think a rule of thumb between retirement, salary, hourly wage, and benefits, probably 75,000 per individual. Mm-hmm. So I would strongly suggest you take that into consideration as we discuss it. So, what would anybody
I'm not convinced we need three, but we need to add something. And I don't know what I really mean by add. We need to find some way to put money in the budget somewhere that gives us the flexibility. If the workload picks up, we got by this past year because of circumstances that presented themselves with COVID that we hope we don't see again in this coming year.
Right.
The only other thought I'd just like to see if the board have more control about making that decision, and that's somewhat problematic based on the way.
So the way, whether it's highway law or town, I think it's town law, any personal appropriations that a town board makes, it's totally within the rights of the elected highway superintendent to act on those positions without town board input. So my recommendation would be, if you want to have input, is that we bump up, I don't know if you want to create
contingency fund, put some money in some other fund,
or I don't want another fund where it requires town board action to move that money over to personal services. So that'd be one way where we maintain control of.
Okay. I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
I don't know if you're still.
The only other thought I have is, listen, there's no doubt in my mind I want to rely on the department head in this particular case, the highway superintendent. But in conversation with him and then conversation with others, and then seeing and hearing that there's lack of work, I just think it warrants a second look. Mostly because now we're talking about climbing up to 160,000 out of fund balance.
Right.
So anyway, that's my only thought. But I don't want to not have money to be flexible to take care of the town residents, highways, and other responsibilities.
And the other important thing to note is that, unlike other expenses, personnel services, once you have them in there, you got them into perpetuity unless something drastic happens and you cut the budget. And we no longer have a highway tax. It's funded completely through sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of at the mercy, obviously Saratoga County is in a great position, Town of Moreau is in a great position, but we're getting a sales tax. But the reality is, we are funding it through fund balance or sales tax. And that's not something I typically like to do for personal services, because that can come back to haunt you down the road. And, as I indicated, we're already up over almost $20,000 in fund balance without any additional positions in there now. So
I guess I had a couple of questions I wrote down here as you brought it up. What first one was similar to your thought, has the highway department not been able to get all their work done this year? But it sounds like they have been able to get all their work done, and they had a lack of work at certain times. I've kind of heard through other people down in the garage. So I don't know if we need to hire... That's one thought when I asked that question. And then, but are we leaving the guys unsafe with a lack of... Is it a safety issue? Why is...
Paul didn't bring that up when he was in here. He just made the request for the three positions. I didn't hear him mention safety.
Because I know that we had a position that's no longer. So,
yeah,
that was a choice. Okay.
Due to budget constraints, we eliminated that position.
Okay, right. All right, budget constraints. So, I guess I'm not feeling it right now that we need three. Do we even need one? Or do we... put funds in there to have some control, like you were talking about. So, other ideas or thoughts?
When Paul was here at last meeting that we had, I asked him how many employees he has now compared to 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said he's got three less employees. How many more miles of roads have we put into town and roads the last 5 years? They all have to be maintained. They all have to be plowed. I don't think there's any time, and you might see some guys standing around now and then, but I don't think there's any time that any of our departments have nothing to do. I really don't. I don't buy that argument at all. I believe we should at least get one more body in there. I see it during the wintertime. I see it during the wintertime, especially during the wintertime. Just in the last few years, how the quality of the snow removal has gone downhill because he just doesn't have the bodies to go out and do it. My area in particular, I used to be able to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning, get to work, everything. The main roads are at least opened up. Redmond Road, Butler Road, those roads are opened up. They're not anymore. He hasn't got the bodies to get out and do the job. And that's when it becomes, like you said, it becomes a safety issue. It becomes a safety issue for the community. I think we got to at least get one more body in there. How can you operate with three less bodies with, miles and miles and miles more road to maintain and stuff. It just, the numbers aren't there.
So what was the increase in mileage for?
I don't know those numbers, Todd. I've got them off the top of my head.
I don't think it was
but,
more.
But you know, how the town has grown in the last 5 years, has it not?
Yeah, but I don't think we have to certify the number of miles that we're responsible for. And I don't think it's gone up more than 3 or 4 miles. And the argument that you need more personnel because you have more miles of road to take care of, I disagree with that argument because anybody who's in business for themselves, and you can't find labor, you buy equipment. And we bought additional trucks, larger trucks, to make up for that shortfall. So I don't think that's
enough. Okay, well, you don't like the argument that there's not that many more miles of road. But we've got the same amount of miles of road that we had 5 years ago that we got today. We're trying to maintain them with three less people. Do the math. I'm just saying.
And we have more trucks than we had.
We still got to have people drive them. You can have 1,000 trucks that got 4 people to drive them. It doesn't do you any good.
All the trucks are on the road when they're operating.
I'm just ultimately concerned, too, about where the money's going to come from. It's not, I don't know if we put up the $80,000, is that enough? Or does he need this 2 people, $60,000, or $160,000, right? Even if it's a $40,000 a year job, $40,000 in benefits, $80,000 a year a person, do we even have... I mean, where is the money going to shift from somewhere else to cover this right now? I just don't want to leave people in a lurch. But I don't know... This is, my independent thought here. Do we need this extra person? I mean, we've got an employee down there saying he wants to cut positions. How's that even possible?
It's an election year, sir. I'm just saying.
Is that the one running for election?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to make it personal. I don't want to make it anything like that. But
he's an employee down there, right?
Yeah. But I think he, there's a thought that in that department, there's too many people. I don't know if he's the only one that feels that way. So. And then we got the department head saying, whom I trust, that he needs more people. But there's that discussion is out there, and I want to make sure we just don't put ourselves in a spot where we're not able to pay for this.
Well, this past summer, I'm surprised the union didn't complain that we have a department head running a paver because we didn't have enough bodies to pave.
Okay.
You know, it's those type of things that you know, we could run into. I think one person, one's a start. He wants three. You know, one's a start, and I believe it's needed.
Well, I've stated my position. I want to find a way to put money in the budget for one position, but
you're waiting for me.
Well, everybody gets a chance to weigh in.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. It'd be nice to have money set aside for this. I don't know that it has to be directed for personnel. I would, if it comes about that we really feel like we need to have somebody there, it'd be nice to have the money available somewhere, whether it's reserve or something else. But yes, it'd be nice.
For one?
For one is what I'm thinking. I don't know about three.
One, yeah.
So,
where can we put it?
So we could, you know, we could put it under snow removal. Is that under highway?
Yes. You know, and thinking about what you're bringing up about, you know, the idea about having trucks out there for snow removal, I think that's a great place to have it, is in snow removal, right? And part of the problem, it's my understanding that all the trucks do get out, but they don't always have wingmen to be able to run. And so, you know, that becomes an issue where they can't plow as efficiently if they don't have the wingman. What?
Did my garbage can.
So, yeah, let go of that. So what's a with benefits? What's the low number for that? That would be appropriate for an entry level laborer at Highway. You know.
Ultimately, it depends on what the contract's going to look like for next year.
No increases.
I can calculate it. I'll calculate it and send a message to everyone so that you know what the idea is.
So you will add that number into snow removal. Is that okay with everybody? And then we have that leeway, if you will. Paul comes to us that we can do that.
That's fine with me.
That works.
As long as it's in there somewhere, we can get it.
That work?
When we talk about numbers like this, are we still trying to keep that rate less than where it was? Because I am committed to keeping that rate as low as we can keep it.
Well, what's going to require in order to keep... Well, first of all, there's no highway tax.
Right.
Okay.
However, one of the ways we do keep that tax rate low when it's actually lower than it was last year's adopted budget at the point, at right now, particular point in time, is that you do that with sales tax.
Right. So we're at 0.945968 right now, right? That's where we're...
Correct.
All right. So when we're adding some things like this, we're not bumping that up?
You fund it with sales tax, and you don't touch the tax rate.
Okay.
Because the tax rate is associated with the A fund.
Right, okay.
Which is one thumbnail thing about that, mm-hmm. I think, overall.
Right. Okay.
So we'll do that. That works for everybody.
Yeah. You'll give us a little bit of number.
I'll send you
the and message. And that'll have benefits and retirement and everything.
Benefits, okay. Retirement, yep.
All right. So that's the first one. Next item is the full-time/part-time status for our code enforcement officer. I think last time we were together, we talked about the possibility of making that a full-time position. Obviously, that if the board wants to do that, it's going to require that our current employee, if he's interested, would have to be certified, take an exam, be reachable in the top three for him to keep his job, but we all know that you know, code enforcement is an issue that we hear about on a regular basis. My recommendation would be if the board wants to make that full time, that it be a salary position and not hourly position, so that there's no overtime involved in it.
Would he also be required to work weekends occasionally?
So previous building inspectors, yes, went out on weekends, yep, if need be. But also in that particular fund, in the building department, that's funded almost completely on sales tax, right? Because we don't have a lot of revenue coming in.
That one's actually mostly completely fund balance.
So fund balance. So it's even worse.
We got to work on fees.
So if the board wants to move forward with that, we need to seriously take a look at how we're going to pay for. Again, it's a personal services position, full time. That's like forever unless you make cuts down the road in previous and next, forthcoming budgets.
I think Alan just touched on it. I think once again we have to revisit our fees, which are way too low. Would you all fund some of this?
A lot of billing departments around the county, their fees pay for the operation of everybody's salary in their departments, which we're not involved.
We're going to take a serious look at that.
So I don't know what you want to do with that.
Well, what's his current hourly rate? I don't remember.
$20.25 now.
$20.29?
Who agreed to that?
Surprised he did.
No, I'm just kidding.
In 1820 is the number we use in our world for annual hours. Yeah. 1820 hours. Is that 35 hour week?
37
yes.
Hours.
Yes.
35 hour week.
I thought it was better than 18 hours.
He's a...
He's at part-time.
Actually, I'll take it back. He's at 17 and a half is what the technical definition is.
Yeah.
So 35.
35
a...
So
18, 20 a year?
No.
Well, it would be full-time. Not what he's at now. Full-time, it's a 35-hour work week.
On a salary. Yes. Correct. Right.
35 times 52 is 18. That's our math.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple arguments. One, I wasn't thinking, I like the idea, but I wasn't thinking of even suggesting to ask him to take a reduction in his hourly rate, because I don't think we're overpaying him. But there is a clear understanding that it's much more costly to the town making him full-time, because now we're picking up the fully loaded cost, and it becomes a protected position. So, but I personally... think that job is worth that hourly rate, but that puts it at a salary of $36,855
plus benefits.
Yeah,
means you almost doubled. Mm-hmm. So $75,000 a year.
Now, what I didn't hear from the department head was any comment about the motivation behind the particular employee of wanting to go full time. So I lack a little bit of knowledge around. Was this because he saw potentially a higher hourly rate, or because he saw the benefit of having a full-time position, and he's currently a county employee, so he's in the system, right? So this will allow him to just have one full-time job he's dedicated to and stay in the system. So there's other benefits that come to him.
So when we talked for the department head, and forgive me if I am wrong, I wasn't sure what I was picking up on. Was it for a full-time code enforcement, or was he looking for him to take the building inspector classes?
No, he has to take the 6 classes for code enforcement. Okay. He's a full-time
code
enforcement.
All right, fair enough.
One thing you could do if you're looking to help the budget but get a full-time position in there, you could fund it for half the year. And so you get somebody, you make it full-time halfway through, May, June. And then, we'll have to pick up the other half the following year. That helps this year.
Meaning stay part time until mid year and then bump up?
Right.
Where are we funding this from? The general fund?
Completely.
No, it's the town outside fund.
Town outside.
So it's not built into the tax rate, correct?
It's not that.
Correct.
Has the current part-time code enforcement officer been making a dent in Does anybody know? Is he making
a
dent?
I talked to him quite a bit. He seems like a go-getter. I mean, when I talk to him about certain things that have been brought up to me, he seems like he's all over him. And he seems to actually enjoy his job, which I don't know how anybody could enjoy that job.
Are you coming in and talking to him when he's on the clock here?
Yeah, I have been talking to him when he's on the clock.
So you get in a car and ride with him.
Yeah, there we go. I'm riding around with him.
Talking all day long.
Yeah. Well, I stop in every now and then, touch base with him.
I don't have numbers to back it up, but the reports that we get out of the department appear so we have a lot more activity than we've ever had.
I mean, the job is so necessary. I mean, it really is. It is. So
just come up Route 9. That'll keep you busy for a few weeks right there.
I think it has to come with a clear understanding that he needs to really take on that position more aggressively in our current building inspector / code enforcement. By title, that's his title, correct? We hired him as a building inspector, code enforcement.
Well, certainly we have full-time.
Yes. That would free him up, but this person would have to take ownership of that so that our building inspector, otherwise we need to think about putting on support for building inspector. So anyway, I think the position's warranted. And if you're asking me for a number, and the number needs to be 36,855. Whether it's something we hold off on a decision halfway through the year or not, that's
I like the idea of funding halfway through the year. Get him in line, get him in order. It's the clear he's going to go. What he's going to get the training, he's got to take the test. Whatever he's got to do, it gives us time to do that. Plus, it gives us a little break in the budget too. So I think.
Can you call for the test if he's as he's part time and give him the opportunity to take that?
Anybody can take once it's posted. Anybody who's qualified can take the test.
So, let's figure on doing that half-year thing and, hopefully get a test done where he's on it, on top three, and, that position where he can move right into a full-time position.
Is it something where you could say the position actually doesn't start until that May, June time, but the posted and the test can go, and it kind of allows him to plan for that, too? Because I definitely feel we are definitely carving this out to this guy. Which is unique, I think, that we're creating this position for him, but we need him and we know we need it and we know he's interested, we think. Yeah. Right?
Based upon what Matt said.
I would say something very similar, maybe different words. I think we're creating it for the town need, I don't think we're carving it for him. He happened to come in and do the job we asked him to do, and so far the feedback's been favorable. If we have to be making a decision tonight, I'm going to be a little bit pressed because here's what I don't know. I don't know enough about his views on all this. So we had one comment that was a little passing from the building department. I'd love to put the 36,855 in there and give us a couple days to talk to him and then back it out to half, or we just say it's half.
I just want to be clear. Yeah. Because we're an equal opportunity employer, that this isn't for one particular individual.
Correct.
This is for...
Right. Well, I guess that's why I raised that question, because it seemed a bit...
I mean, obviously, current employee works in the department now. I would think that anybody who... He had a leg up on probably the average person interviewing. But I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Appreciate that.
The other thing is, I think everybody around the table is in agreement that we need to rework that department to set us up for the future.
Yep.
You can come right out of the gate and establish that position. I think the reality is by the time, let's say this individual is interested in the position, interviews, we select them. By the time he gets the necessary qualifications to do the job, you're probably going to be out there well into the next year. So do you want to pick someone that can't enforce the code now or wait until they're certified? I guess that's the question.
Well, I'd have some follow-up questions because I don't know the rules well enough, so I'm a little handicapped. But I thought we could appoint a provision.
You can enforce the
existing code enforcement.
Absolutely, but
so we're not. This is all for what. Here's I guess the question that really should be answered.
how much does the town and the taxpayers need enhanced code enforcement today and in the next 6 months, or can we wait another 6 months? That's how I'm looking at it. Now, can you just help me a little bit? If it's not funded from outside, it's not going to impact the tax.
No, because the tax rate is only on the eight for the eight right. fund. Everything else is funded through either fees, sales tax, or fund balance, or a combination of some or all three.
For the purpose of the budget, we're trying to we have to compose a dollar value we want to put in the budget for 2022.
Yeah, that's yeah, because we'll have to adopt it, what that number is. And right now, so that's paid out of town outside, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I make one more comment?
Sure.
Just so we make sure we keep the number in mind, it's not the 36,855, it's half that number, because we're already paying
half that. It would be
plus the loaded.
Yeah, you have to load it and cut it in half and plug that number into the budget to do a six to pay for it full time for 6 months.
Because we already got the current spend moving forward.
Right. Actually, that would help that.
And during that 6 month time, you could call for a test, right?
The county would.
The county would call for a test. That way, anybody could take it.
Yep.
You could take it. Anybody could take it.
If
it leaves it open for everybody. I mean, that's what we want to do. Be fair.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If he finishes in about half or whatever they do, then you gotta make that decision.
So if you roughly put in $18,000 to what's already there?
Well, that it would be 18 plus the loaded.
Well, he's pointing out he's already going to be in the budget as a part-time employee, so we've got that money there.
Right.
Which is, what is that? I don't even know what it is.
Half of the...
There's 22 in there next year, 22,000.
So it'll be 22,000 plus 18 is more than a half the loaded cost for.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually. What's that? What's the total? What's his total pay right now?
22,000.
22. And half of, you said
36,85.
So that'd be 18 for. Have to make it.
Round it up.
So does he get any vacation time?
So that's $40,000. We know that the loaded cost is going to be much less than that. So you could probably, let's say it's 40. You could probably get away. You could probably take like $8,000 off that, don't you think?
My other question to this is if somebody is hired full time,
mm-hmm.
how's that with the payment for like their health insurance or whatever else that you know?
That's what we're the loaded
cost. Okay, the loaded cost.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what we're referring to.
Oh, okay.
For retirement.
I didn't know that was what it was.
That he coined the phrase. I
loaded cost.
I call it benefits. He calls it loaded.
Okay.
So
got it.
So what? What would be get us in the ballpark so that we got a cushion?
I mean, you need $15,000 just to cover the additional salary.
Yeah.
Now you got to add, then you got to add the loaded on top
right.
of that. So
right.
it's not going to go down; it's going to go up.
Right. So I'm
36.
Yeah. Right.
Wouldn't it be basically $36,000 because you take the half, cut it half, and add it?
Well, whatever the loaded, whatever the benefits, so the additional costs
right.
are on the position, add it to that number.
Yep. I'll calculate that as well.
For half a year.
For the health insurance.
So you got that?
Health insurance, Medicare, Social Security, all that other stuff. I'll throw all that in there.
So basically, just so I'm clear, and I know you're clear, you're going to take what he's making now, extrapolate it to full-time with benefits, and you're going to deduct what we had in the budget, and you're going to plug that number in.
That's what I do.
All right.
That's what I do.
All right, I think I'm with you.
All right.
So that works for everybody?
Yep.
All right.
You need an advocate?
The next item, I talked about the water tower. Everybody's okay with the painting for the water tower in there. Water tower, water department staffing. We talked about this too. We know that our system, if you will, department is going to be a significant more number of miles of infrastructure online maybe as soon as the end of this year. My recommendation would be to at least budget for full-time labor, so that that means we'll have three people in the budget.
Yes.
Three? Okay, so then we'll have three positions that we can, well, two that we can fill.
A superintendent and two laborers.
Yeah, yeah. So my recommendation. Now again, that's going to be that's based off of rates, so that'll be coming out of what the ratepayers pay for sewer and water. So you okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about potentially doing something with the existing person and a little bit of an elevation, but I think it's unlikely that we're going to get a superintendent until we're a little bit into the new year, so we might have some money to
I think we'll have a cushion there to get us where we probably would have to be, depending on what the board decides.
We definitely need to get another buy-in there right away.
Yeah.
And we have a potential candidate. We need to follow back up on that one interview we need to do.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Everybody good with that?
Yeah.
I have a question. So for water superintendent, right now we have the 3% in off of Jesse's salary. Moving forward, we're going to get a new water superintendent. Are we intending on keeping that salary at the salary position at the same level?
My suggestion would be to keep the 3% in there so that we have that cushion for. I think we may want to do it between there and the labor.
All right.
That doesn't mean that whomever the next water superintendent has to be at that price, at that salary cost.
Right now, Christian is making $21.22 an hour in the tentative. Going into preliminary budget, what would be the rate that you guys would want for a new laborer that came in?
Is that with the 3%? That's his current.
That is with the 3%.
I would put his in that 3%, and we can decide on that after we interview and hire somebody what we want it to be. Wouldn't be lower.
Do you want it in this budget?
For next year, yeah. The labor.
Yeah, the new laborer.
New laborer.
So you want to put. Do both laborers the same rate, 21
for the
22.
Budget.
Okay, all
right. Can I ask you a question real quick? Does this number right here, that talks water superintendent, is that indicating the increase in salary that we gave this past year? I don't feel like it is. Because... is this something you can talk about openly?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like we were shooting for 67 and we came in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking the wrong person. You're talking about the water superintendent.
Yeah. I'm looking at these numbers right here.
Yeah.
I know this is adopted budget numbers, which is fine. Because that's what we adopted, but then we added to this.
That's correct.
And then would the tentative be on the added amount? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The 3% added to that.
Well, you took his current salary, his current rate of pay plus 3%.
That's what I intended. I will check that, though, just to make sure. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'll check that to make
because,
sure.
The current water superintendent is making more than what's in the tentative.
Right, but if he used his current pay plus 3% in the new budget, then it's right. They'll validate that.
Yeah, I'll check that out and let you guys know.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more else? I guess we're done with water. Transfer station manager for next year. We do not. Did we put money in the budget for that or no? I can't remember what we did. So, obviously. I think there's agreement that, at least the majority agreement, that we need to have somebody in charge down there. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet for many different reasons, mainly not a lot of applicants expressing interest. But either way, I think we have to budget for it. And I think my thinking would be to, if you're going to have somebody come in full time, that means you're going to have probably a part timer that you don't need. So that's going to help fund that position. So I don't know where you want to go. The problem is such a delicate fund because it is a fee based fund. So we average around, if I'm not mistaken, about $50,000 in additional revenue where we are now. That's not putting anything in capital reserve. It's not doing any maintenance. It's not doing any repairs down there. That's just what we've taken over the previous year. So it's about $50,000. So, you know, there's talk of buying more equipment. We've been talking about a loader. I haven't got a lot of work to work with. And if you go into a full-time position, that's going to make it even tighter. So I don't know where you want to go with that. My position is I think you do need a full-time manager there, but I don't know where everybody else
is. I do too, and I wouldn't be surprised if fees went, or if revenues were higher with a different way of doing business down there. With a manager.
Yeah, you're talking about like electronic payment. Oversight.
You know, making sure the bags that are going in are the bags that are paid for and that kind of stuff. I mean,
I totally agree.
The manager's job's going to do. I mean, we don't check when someone goes and got 3 45-gallon bags. Maybe you got 6.
Well, the policy is supposed to be you take the ticket and you hand it to somebody down below and they verify against it.
And that's right. I feel like the manager would be making sure those things would happen and then proper payment fees were being paid at the booth.
And I can tell you that because I'm either fortunate or unfortunate to have a direct feed to what's going on down there, I rarely see that happening.
Right.
And I think it's still a manager could take some of the heat off the person sitting in that booth as far as charging for the loads that come in, you know, from for the not the trash, but for the building materials and all that stuff.
Household garbage, building materials.
It's tough to know. I wouldn't know what to tell somebody, you know, and if you had somebody there who's the manager and this is what it is, argue with me, don't argue with the girl in the booth. And he's going to see that the same guy's coming in every day with these big trailers full of brush. You know, he's probably a contractor, you know, he's not, and the girls probably, and I understand, they don't want to listen to the people screaming and yelling at them. You got a manager down there to manage the place better. I think you're right. I think our revenue could go up.
And I'm not trying to say anyone on our side is being dishonest. I just think there's just holes in the system without a manager.
I can agree with that, yeah.
So if you want to do a full-time manager,
yeah, that's,
we got benefits.
Mm-hmm.
We've got retirement salary, should be salary, I think. Previous transfer station, the person used to be salary, I think. You know, we're going to heat up that cushion in there.
Well, the thing is, too, is $15 an hour is going to get people lined up to take the job. And $15 an hour is going to get somebody who's going to come in and take it seriously and be responsible. And that's another problem we got, because that just adds to the cost. To pay somebody who really wants to come in and do the job and do it right.
So what would your salary? Well, first of all, let me back. Does everybody want to do full-time manager?
Yes, I think we need one.
All right. So now we need to decide what we want to plug in for salary.
Well, I know we were shooting around the number 37,000 for a while. We had an applicant. You know, I'm not going to be a manager for. I mean, this is just I'm not going to be a manager role for whatever that hourly is. Break it in half, usually $17 an hour, $18 an hour. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What's acceptable, but at the same time, I mean, if our revenues aren't there to cover it, right, then we're not. Coming back to my first statement about highway, where is it? I don't want to be spending money we don't have. I mean, that makes me nervous. Maybe we have it.
That was one of the reasons we went to a bunch of part-time positions, because we wanted to help that fund down there. It was hemorrhaging. You know, I've said this before, it's a very sensitive, because there's other options just outside the town, and you want to make sure that you don't cross that line where people decide to call a service and come pick it up at the end of the driveway and they have to drive it over here, so we can still offer the service. So,
right.
You know, there's a sweet spot that I don't know exactly what it is, but you got to be sensitive about it.
Right.
So, I think...
I personally think the more the bigger opportunity for making for increased revenue is not going to be around the household garbage, but all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. There's many options, but I understand the point.
Yeah.
Of teetering.
I mean, we could plug in like 34, 35, but that's going to get you up around 60 with benefits.
I guess that's the draw of the job. Somehow it's the benefit package.
It's a 35.
But then you're taking 34,000, mm-hmm. and then you look at your take-home pay after you take your benefits out, and then it's dropping it back down. But there's benefits.
Why would that be 40 if other full-time positions are 35?
The town hall employees are the only ones that have the 35-hour work week. Water department, highway department, those all have 40-hour work weeks.
Start the topic for another day.
I just inherited the system.
Do you need a manager there every single day?
Well, I guess it's unfortunate we just don't have someone on staff that we can do.
My thought is no. You don't, but you need to have somebody that's responsible enough to get personnel there that you can trust.
Should we do a modified work day with a higher hourly rate? Not make it full time. So we got to be under 20 hours, 19 and a half hours.
20 hours?
Yeah, so that's 20 and a half. And you probably need somebody there more often than that, or no?
How often was Ted there?
Yeah, not much. Yeah.
A pretty period.
Needless to say, along those lines, yeah, you probably don't need somebody there 35 or 40 hours a week, but you need somebody who can do the scheduling and can make the calls and to address some of the little issues. Also, somebody you trust with the monies. If we can get... I see one of the next things is credit card usage at the transfer station. That alleviates some of that cash handling that, is a concern for others. And it might also save those trips to the bank.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
It's coming back into the room.
And we can get by with a 20-hour person, but they're going to spend 60-70% of their time on this other administrative stuff, and I don't know if that's getting us on the job.
Yeah.
Again, if we were talking about a full-time person, we're also talking about a bit of a reduction. We won't be one of the budget part-time person, so we're going to kind of self-fund part of the...
Right. That'll help us on the budget side.
So on that note, though, would that be someone who works down there now, where we just be cutting their hours?
Potentially.
Kind of makes me go, because those people probably don't rely on their hours. Just sharing my thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Well, it's good.
I don't want to lose an employee that's willing, that's committed so long to the transfer station.
Sundays and Wednesdays.
Could open on Wednesdays.
Committed to that job, to work outside, to work in the cold. And cut their hours. It's like, we'll have to hire somebody. Just my thoughts.
I remember what it was. Was this a civil service position? Was there a list for it? Did we find out?
I don't recall there being a list.
Okay.
We did have a job description.
Yeah, but it's not a classified one. Okay. So that means you could hire anybody, I think, is what I recall. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll check on that too. But yeah.
Well, it sounds like everybody wants full time, so why don't we plug in, we'll call it like 35, but we're not going to hire them January 1 probably, right?
I wouldn't think so.
So the number you'd have to put in to get us through the whole year full time with benefits,
extrapolate that.
I'll add 35. I'll extrapolate that.
In this case, it's the full year, not the half year.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, and this is you know, there's still options to make one last change if we have to. We can run the numbers and see where they come out. Just, I meant to point out.
It'd be nice to have it in the budget for next year.
So transfer station. Oh, so transfer station. So transfer station last year we budgeted, we presumed we'd bring in $252,000, and we had appropriated $250,000 for operations. This year, I'm not sure why it's down less, it's because of less uses. Appropriations are $240,750.
Are you talking about revenues?
Yeah. No, appropriations.
Oh.
It's down $10,000.
It's based off of... you know, spending trends.
Oh, okay. What we're getting rid of for waste and all that. And so the revenues are anticipated in our budget at $270,000. So, you know, on paper, we're estimating about a $30,000, just under $30,000 cushion in there. Typically, it's more than that when we do the end of the year calculations. It's closer to 50, but
if we dump it into the personnel,
yeah,
doesn't give us any window to start accruing money into a contingency fund for
capital. We're not going to put a capital reserve fund in there, but unless we...
You mean we won't have any money to do that, or you can't put one in that?
No, you can't put one in, but yeah, I don't think you have additional revenue
to fund it. That's what we got to get to.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So,
sorry, but
you're going to run the numbers?
Do that. We'll run the numbers. We'll see what it is. We'll go from there.
But not now?
You brought the laptop.
Transfer station manager. Transfer station loader, which is part of the same conversation.
So you took a ride down. You looked at it. It's not the ship box that you were told it was. But my question is, did somebody from, you know, the
I know,
highway garage...
I know Alan asked Paul, take a look at it. I don't know, did you hear back?
Yeah, so I asked Paul, I asked him again, and then I just asked him to get a text tonight, and he still hasn't got back to me. But in the last conversation, which was the last time we saw him, I believe it was a board meeting, he said that he was hoping to get it done in a couple of days. So I don't have, you know, an independent, you know, trained mechanic's opinion, we don't have money to do it anyway, so...
No, but
they just, what he did tell me is they just repaired the hydraulics and it was working fine. There's certainly no question that it's not in good repair, but we don't have funds. We got to figure out how to start putting money.
Yeah, so with that, I mean, there's some obvious like things like bald tires, and they tell me that the rims are rusted. And, you know, I went down, I took some pictures of the thing, and, you know, how unsafe is it? I don't know. They're still operating it. But me personally, I'd like to see at least the rims repaired or replaced and tires that aren't bald so that they can use it during the winter down there. So it's not just slipping around and causing a problem. And it'd be nice to have money set aside in reserve, but I also understand that this is essentially a self-funded program, and the money's not there. Not without raising revenue through fees. I get it.
Where did we get the loader? Was this not an internal sale from
Highway? So, yeah, if you look at the loader, if you, you'll see where the rust has eaten through some of the cladding on it. That's from working, loading the trucks at Highway in the wintertime with salt. They're wet, it's snowing out, it's freezing rain, and it just does a number on it. And so the transfer station, I believe, bought it from Highway, obviously at a reduced price. But that's where it came from. Because it was so expensive to buy a new one right out of the gate. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the discussion is really, because I think we all, unless somebody has another idea, we all have come to the realization that we don't have any money to buy it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the transfer committee wants to, moving forward, look in the possible leases, you know, it's probably $4,000 a month, maybe. Depending on who you get it from, how big it is, what year it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe get some numbers like that. That may be an option for us. Sometimes they do lease-to-own.
Mm-hmm. Or a dollar buyout at the end. Yeah. There's all sorts of fair market value.
That's one way to get it upgraded. But yeah, to do it right out of the gate.
Can you, unless you know the answer for certain, can you look into whether or not we can lease?
We, the town?
Yeah.
Town can lease.
Can we?
Yeah. Some towns, southern part of the county, lease all their equipment, lease to own.
Well, it's a way to have automatic attrition or asset management, you know, kind of attrition, and so you're always assured that you're going to get paid for it, but you pay for it over time. And it's an operating expense, and then you aren't in these situations.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This will be a girly question. Does the highway department use their loader all the time? Maybe they could lease from the highway department and just use it, you know, on a scheduled basis and pay the highway department to use the loader they have.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and I know those conversations have taken place over the years, and there seems to be a high need at highway for it. But we can revisit that again. Transfer station.
If it's not used, they could rent it to them, and we could drive revenue up in highway.
Well, the thing is,
but we have to find a way to fund it over.
Yeah,
the transfer.
If there's a benefit to highway, maybe even send an operator over.
Well, this is a non-budget conversation on point, but I'll make it again. We got to figure out how to continue to improve in our department cooperation.
Well, there's no question.
It's an opportunity.
Everybody should be rowing in the same direction. I totally agree. So, I don't know, are we where we are? Are we all done with the loader for now?
Yeah. You know who might have an idea on the leasing and stuff like that? I'll talk to Paul. Paul's probably got more knowledge as to where we might, what direction we might go in anyway. And I'll talk to Paul and see if he can't point us in the right direction, point us to somebody.
See if there's a unique arrangement that benefits his department and that he's willing to entertain and we can help both departments. We'll have a symbiotic relationship between both departments.
That would be special.
Yeah, it would be special. You know, the thing is, though, too, is that I've seen these departments and stuff. It's like, that's my baby. I don't want you taking care of my baby. And I understand it, too, because they got to run it after that guy runs it, you know, and they've got a way to do it, and I've seen it.
Well, we can knock those walls down. The union piece is going to be the challenge.
Well, along those lines, we have a water department backhoe. You know how often that gets used over here. And there may be ways to help that fund. You know? So there's options out there. I think you just need to get creative over it. And they're certainly more affordable than pulling the trigger on a brand new one at this time. So, anyway. Transfer station credit card, that doesn't really require budget action. I think everybody thinks that we should look into the option of accepting credit cards now that we have internet down there.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just give you a quickie update on that because I did reach out to our credit card company that the town already uses, and it would be seamless. I mean, they could just add that account over there, and I don't even think they would charge us for the chip reader because we're a customer of Edmunds GovTech and they don't charge for the equipment if we're customers of theirs.
Right.
And so the only requirement they would have, and I believe we have all of the IT connections over there, so I mean that's something you can do now. They sent me a contract today, so if that's something that you want to do right away, we can do that.
And we don't pay. It's not a cost, but we will be paying a percentage. So what's our current
rate? We don't pay the percentage at all. We pay nothing. The people pay it. It's added on to their fee when they use their card.
You do a manual calculation here when they pay by?
The computer does it.
Does it?
So if somebody comes in and they want to pay their water bill, we tell them, here's the fee. It's 2.45%.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a big bill, we'll figure it out on the calculator ahead of time. Otherwise, we just put the chip reader in, and it'll tell us how much the fee is going to be. And we can always back it out if they say, whoa, I don't want to do that. But it would be the same thing at the transfer station. There would be a fee.
What is the rate?
It's $1.75 minimum, and it's a 2.45%. So it'd be $1.75 mostly for everybody that goes down there, because up to about $50, it's $1.75.
Hmm. On top of their
On top of what their fee is. That's how the bank makes their money to support us with credit cards.
Deal. That's not
yes, there may be other companies out there that are less than structure. That. I can tell you that the company the school uses for school tax collection is 3.5%. So Forte at 2.45% is not bad. I don't know what other companies.
That's not a concern. That's reasonable. It's the $175 minimum up front. We're talking about smaller transactions at the transfer station that might not even be. That might be two bucks or four bucks. We're taking small lots of little small payments. So
I don't know that you're going to find anything less than that, but
The rate's great, but that $175, I'm just not familiar with that minimum fee as a common practice. But
looks like we're going to have to up non-resident fees.
We don't even have a way of doing it, right? We don't even issue stickers anymore. Like you don't come get a town road town sticker.
If you ask for one, you get a sticker.
From
the booth.
I thought
it was just Boston.
We
give
them out to the tri-county area. You know that. Right? Yeah.
All right. So, well, we should look into
the
recommendation.
I don't think we have to decide it tonight, but we should definitely push forward. Thank you for looking into
it. I'll give you the information that they've given me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. ARPA funding, I just want to let you know, if you look at the revenues, we've got the ARPA money plugged in there. It's not being spent. It's plugged in there so we have access to it next year. And it's the $600,000 minus the $140,000 that we already returned the fund balance for personnel services. And I just got this afternoon, the U.S. Senate just passed legislation where they're loosening up what you can use the funding for. Hasn't passed in the House yet, but, you know, it's something that they're looking at. And I'll just give you the three highlights. It says that localities be able to allocate up to $10 million of ARPA funds to provide government services without needing to calculate any lost revenue, which is pretty good. The second item is $10 million or 30% of ARPA allocations, whichever is more, to be used under new separate provisions that further allows infrastructure-related activities authorized under the Federal Surface Transportation Laws, Title I. Now, this is your sewer, water, roads, infrastructure. And the third item is allows funding to be used to provide emergency relief from natural disasters or the negative economic impacts of natural disasters, including temporary emergency housing, food assistance, financial assistance for lost wages, or other immediate needs. So this is like the Reader's Digest version, but it looks like they're going to tweak that will allow us more discretion as we move forward. So that's good news because, you know, it'd be nice if we had greater ways to spend that money instead of just a finite few. So mm-hmm.
When might we start discussing what we're going to do with that money?
Well, it's in the budget for 2022, so anytime after we adopt the budget and then 2022 arrives.
We have the same amount. In 2020.
Yeah, so it was $600,000 this year and $600,000 next year, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so, and I think I talked already about the water at Van Buren. Everybody's okay doing the fund balance use of the. What is the fund balance for Water District 1? Well, over 200, isn't it?
It's 389,
139. So it's going to cut it in half, but you know we really don't have any choice. And that'll be another issue we'll take. So that's all we have.
Is that water tower in that we need to paint?
That costs a split between all water districts.
Is
because
it?
as the government roads were saying, the water towers are used by all.
We have a percentage how like the salaries are divvied up among all different accounts. Based on number of users, probably.
It's based off of the amount of water used.
Amount of water, that's what it is. So, and obviously the water towers
are interconnected and all benefit from these water towers, so that's why we do that. I think the controller would want us to do that. So that's all I got on the budget right now. Anybody have anything else? We'll plug those numbers in. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I brought it up with you earlier. Yeah. And has to do with I'd like to get more money for Peter Olszewski. I think that he's working out well. I think that he's probably well worth $50,000 a year. I think his current is 46, 8 or something along those lines.
His tentative for next year is 48,328.
Yeah.
What's he making right now?
He's making 46,920.
I'd like to see him over 50. We've asked him to do a lot of different things between the rec leader and also buildings and grounds. You know, when there's a problem, I'm calling him up and asking him to get things taken care of. He usually gets it done.
So, because we're talking about a specific individual, my recommendation would be, we're going into an executive session anyway,
yep.
that be part of the discussion in the executive session.
Good. That's fine.
Then we can come out and take action if necessary.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Anybody else have anything else for the budget for this point in time? No? Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for everything. We are going to need an executive session for to discuss the work performance history of an unnamed employee or employees. We are going to receive an update on contract negotiations with the City of Glens Falls for the purchase of sewer capacity. And I expect that we will be taking action when we come out of executive session. Somebody like to
so moved.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We're ready to go.
Okay.
We're coming out of executive session and would like the record to reflect we did not take any action in executive session. However, we do have two items that we're going to take up in open session before we adjourn tonight. The first one is we'd like to move forward authorizing the town's engineer, LaBerge Group, to secure or apply for additional funding for our sewer project by applying for a NYWIA grant, which is the New York Water Infrastructure Improvement Act. And if the town is successful, we will receive 25% of the cost of the project minus any grants that we may have received. So right now that number is $9 million with the project, so there's a potential to receive $2.5 million. So with that, I would entertain a motion to authorize the town supervisor to submit an application to the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation Water Infrastructure Improvement Act grant program. And I think you have a copy of that.
Would I have a whole resolution.
Would you like me to read it?
I can if you want me to.
So ask the clerk to read the resolution.
Town of Moreau, Moreau Treatment Alternatives Resolution to authorize supervisor to submit an application to the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation Water Infrastructure Improvement Act Grant Program. Whereas the Town of Moreau Sanitary Sewer System currently discharges to the City of Glens Falls Wastewater Treatment Facility. And whereas the facility agreement between the Town of Moreau and the City of Glens Falls allows discharge of up to 190,000 gallons per day. And whereas in order to maintain the service provided by the town's sewer system, a connection to the Saratoga County sewer system may be needed. And whereas the Town of Moreau has commissioned the development of a preliminary engineering report to identify the feasibility of discharging to Saratoga County. And whereas the town board has authorized the supervisor to develop and submit an application for funding for up to 25% of the project cost through the New York State Water Infrastructure Improvement Act. And whereas the program requests that the application contain and or show evidence of project readiness, including of a plan of finance and bond resolution, engineering report, engineering contract, and legal contract for services. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the supervisor is authorized to enter into separate agreements with the LaBerge Group and legal counsel for the provision of engineering and legal services associated with the sewer improvement project upon award of the NIWA grant. And be it further resolved that a copy of the separate engineering and legal contract be submitted with the grant application as to provide evidence of project readiness and the Town of Moreau support.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? I just want to add, it's in the resolution, but I wanted to clarify, I should have said it up front. So this is to provide the Town of Moreau with an opportunity to look at an additional option for disposal of our wastewater generated here in the Town of Moreau. Currently, we send it across the river to the city of Glens Falls for treatment. What this will do is look into the feasibility and possible funding of infrastructure that would go south to tie into Saratoga County's existing infrastructure. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And as a result of that action, that will require as part of the application that the Town of Moreau declare lead agency on this project as a Type 1 action. And I believe the clerk has a copy of that resolution as well. She'd like to read.
Town of Moreau Sewer Treatment Alternatives Resolution to declare intent for lead agency and classify project as a Type 1 action. Whereas the town is proposing to undertake improvements to the existing Sewer District 1 Extension 5 sewer system, hereafter referred to as the project. And whereas pursuant to 6 NYCRR 617.6, the town board seeks to be established as lead agency as part of undertaking a coordinated review of this action with any involved and interested agencies. And whereas the town board considers the proposed project to be a Type 1 action pursuant to the New York State Environmental Quality Review Act 6 NYCRR part. And whereas the town board has prepared the full environmental assessment form in accordance with SEQRA, SEQR, and it seeks to circulate a notice of intent to be lead agency to all involved and interested agencies who shall be given 30 days to deliver any comments in response to this notice that such other involved or interested entity may have regarding the town board taking on the lead agency role. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the town board of the Town of Moreau classifies the project as a Type 1 action pursuant to standards in the New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, and be it further resolved that it is the intention of the town board of the Town of Moreau to declare itself as lead agency for seeker coordinated review of this action, and be it further resolved that the town board of the Town of Moreau hereby directs LaBerge Group as engineer for the project to submit lead agency designations to all involved and interested agencies for the project through the service of a notice of intent.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I just want to go on record. I'm really not happy with this whole 11th-hour deal that we're going here. But I understand that we have to cover our bases. I don't know how we ended up in this position of not having sewer capacity. Maybe I was naive, but I thought maybe we had sewer capacity before we started talking about it in August. You know, the shovels were in the ground, and then we're talking about sewer capacity. And that concerns me. I don't like this 11th hour having to rush this thing through, but I am going to vote for it because we do. We have to cover our bases. Hopefully the city of Glens Falls can come up with something and we can go in that direction. It's just an awful lot of money. There's an awful lot of money here. Even if we're getting money from grants and everything else, we're still going to come up with a good chunk of change. So I am going to vote in favor of this, but I do have concerns.
Yeah, just, well, thank you for those comments. So to clarify, we currently do have sewer capacity. It's just that as a result of previous administrations authorizing PUDs, which I voted against, what that did was, and that was my concern at the time, is it ate away with that cushion that we had in there for sewer capacity. We still have it. It's just greatly reduced. And so the purpose of this action, and I totally agree that we're, you know, I'm not happy that we're doing this tonight. But the deadline for the NAWEA grant is in November 22nd. So that requires some certain things that have to happen. And it really, you know, puts the town in a difficult position. So I appreciate your support on it. You know, I think it's critical that, like we do with water, we have two options. We can buy from the town of Queensbury, or we can purchase by contract from Saratoga County. And this has the potential to also give us that flexibility down the road, so that we aren't beholden to an entity, City of Glens Falls, where nobody from the town of Moreau has any input or representation in the decisions up there. So, yeah, I'm supportive of anything that brings additional money into the town to help offset the cost to our users. And, you know, this has the potential to basically cover a third of the cost to go that way. I've had conversations and expect that the county will fund, you know, another $3 million for the project, and if not more. And also, this will require working with the town of Wilton, which there's benefits to the town of Wilton for us to do this as well, and they will be an equal partner at the table. So, you know, this is, you know, the timing on it is not the way I like to do business, but unfortunately, I don't want to miss an opportunity to secure $2.5 million if we have that opportunity today. So, any other discussion?
No, I feel, you know, similar to the way both the gentlemen feel in terms of doing it like this, but I would hate to think that 10 years down the road someone doesn't say, well, why didn't they think about this 10 years ago? I kind of feel like that's the way that a lot of stuff has been going, for, you know, up until now, and I like the idea that we're looking for 50 years down the road for these alternatives. So, you know, I support it, and I understand the timeline we have right now.
Any other comments?
Understand and respect all positions that have been stated. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're a bit in this position because of the position that the city's taking, and that's unfortunate, and I hope that that changes. I don't understand it, but that was, there's more to this than us not anticipating. I think we still have, or believe we have, legal grounds to stand on.
Yeah, we, so if I could add to that, we have offered to pay the City of Glens Falls in the most recent correspondence I sent at the direction of the board last Tuesday of per the written agreement that we have with the city, $3.39 million. Obviously, it's tied to inflation, so you know, the cost of that capacity will go up as time goes on, as long as inflation is going up. I'm hopeful that we'll hear back shortly from the City of Glens Falls, and there'll be a favorable response, which will also impact whether or not we pursue this further. But I think we have a responsibility to do our due diligence and basically not put all our eggs in one basket and to have an alternative. And well, that's what this does tonight. It will give us an alternative.
No, you said it all.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. And so we're done with budget workshop. Jeffrey will get out those new numbers. Somebody plugs them in tomorrow for comment. And I think we'll be ready to present to the public, establish our public hearing. We already did that, didn't we, public hearing?
We have not set a public hearing yet.
So we'll do that
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. You got on the board meeting already?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Two public hearings.
Right. Thank you to Jeffrey. I know he's already left, but so far we're not across the finish line, but another really smooth budget process. So you and Jeffrey and everybody else involved.
Yep, thanks for everybody's input. And with that, I entertain a motion to go. Oh, we don't need it for workshop, do we?
We don't usually.
All right, we're good.
All right.
Good night.
Everybody have a good evening.